So our text for this morning's meditation is from our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel. These words, "And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to vindicate means to show or prove to be right. To show or prove to be right. That's what vindicate means. When I was a child, my parents bought a set of those Funken Wagnalls encyclopedias. Remember those? And the chief reason they bought that set of encyclopedias, my parents did, was to bring arguments to a conclusion in our family. You see, with four know-it-alls, and then ultimately five, I mean children, making bold assertions at the supper table night after night after night, and those assertions being challenged by counter-assertions, there'd be only one way to settle an argument about the minutiae and the marginalia about which we so often fought, and that was to look it up in the encyclopedia. Funken Wagnalls. Now, when that happened and the answer was discovered, the person railed against for asserting what appeared to be wrong, but what ultimately was shown to be right, was then vindicated. And that was a great feeling, to be vindicated. I suppose we could assert at this point that in the world today, that living in the world today, there does not seem to be much opportunity for Christians, for Christianity, for the Christian life to be vindicated in just such a way. That is, to be shown to be right. To be vindicated for living according to the law of God, the law of love through faith in Jesus Christ. For according to the world, so it seems, how Christians understand the world, how Christians believe we should live in the world, what Christians think life ultimately is and how it will end but will go on forever, well, it's simply wrong. Simply wrong. Life according to a set of principles? Why? Try not to do something wrong? What for? Hope to marry and have children and sow a family? No need. Pursue honesty, integrity, that is the truth, purity, nobleness, loveliness, excellence, what's praiseworthy. What for? What for? Pursue wealth. Seek out pleasure. Do whatever is best for you. Forget this idea of the truth. Just live like you want to live. There's no reason, no sense in pursuing something higher, more noble, something excellent or praiseworthy than what you see already staring at you in the mirror every single morning. You're it. Life is you. Be you. Don't strive. Don't strain. Don't excel. Don't deny yourselves anything you want or want to experience. For all that higher principles, whatever they may be, get you, it's pain and suffering and shame and regret and fear and loathing and a stunningly bad self-concept, so forget it. So the world to Christianity. And the world does seem to be winning with this set of principles it has. Like life itself is a gigantic soccer match and Christians find themselves down to the surrounding culture 4-0. And we're not even at halftime yet. If only there were some way for the Christian life, for our life in Christ, to be seen as the best way to live, the right way to live, the most satisfying way to live. If only the life of selfless love for our neighbor, driven by the assurance of sins daily forgiven, our own sins, could somehow make a comeback and conquer the culture around us with its ultimate theological and religious correctness. It certainly would be wonderful to enjoy, as Christians, a bit of vindication. Well, Christians are vindicated. are vindicated before the world, really in two different ways. Christians are vindicated before the world. The first way that Christians are vindicated before the world is in the ultimate failure of the world in its way of living. Sure, the world's not going to admit that this is so, but it is going to fail, and does fail. How does this happen? Well, I'm reminded of my roommate in college who had the habit of holding a CD between his thumb and his middle finger, and he'd flex it between the two. CDs were expensive, and we didn't have too many that we listened to there in the dorm room. And so I asked him once why he wasn't frightened that he would break a CD that way. His response, they're not going to break. He'd be sitting there flexing it. Well, a few weeks later, I found a tiny, tiny sliver of a CD on the floor of our room. And when he got back, I asked him about it, and he was like, oh, I missed one. Turns out CDs do break when you flex them that way. But he had hoped by picking up all the pieces I wouldn't find out and be vindicated in my concern. And that's exactly what the world does. The world lives in the way it does, picking up the pieces of its shattered lives and hiding them. Lives shattered by actions and thoughts and speech, believed not really to matter, but which really did matter, hoping that the pain and misery and suffering, the self-loathing, the doubt and fear and despair caused chiefly and primarily and overwhelmingly by a life so lived will not be discovered by others. And then pride kicks in, defense mechanism for lives so shattered. The world, in its way of living, ultimately fails. And even though we are not continual witnesses of that failure, there is vindication. Vindication for living not as the world lives. And that's the first way Christians are vindicated. The second way that Christians are vindicated before the world is in the new heart, the new spirit that are given to Christians by the Holy Spirit of God. And that new heart, that new spirit given to Christians sets them apart from the world, from the ways of the world, and the ways of the world not being the ways of those who follow Christ. Now, the problem here is that Christians can be unaware that this is so. I mean, it would be easier to believe this gifting of a new heart and spirit, if having faith in Christ, we glowed a little bit. Or we had a little light halo around our head that you could see during the day kind of barely, but it would really stand out at night. Or we walked around an inch or so above the ground like we were floating. And wherever we would go, people would stop and stare at us, allowing us to pass before them as if we were some divine being in their midst. But that doesn't happen, does it? And so we begin to wonder if our Father in heaven is doing anything within us at all. But here we are at fault for forgetting who in fact we are, not realizing the wonder of our lives in Jesus Christ. I remember as a child wanting to be in a college choir. We had a number of them sing in our churches growing up, and then my older brothers were in just such a choir, and I was excited then about my first choir audition in college my freshman year. And at the audition, I was asked if I had money to go on a European tour, and I said I didn't, and I failed the audition. I was devastated because I so wanted to be in just such a choir. Well, a year later, I made it into the choir. And I was ecstatic, and I loved it all. I loved the rehearsals and the performances and the status of being in the choir, the tours, everything. But you know, eventually, after a number of years, it became old hat, lost its luster. So familiar and repetitive and at times monotonous, forgotten was the wonder, the joy of singing, such a wonderful setting, a setting in which I have not sung since. See, the choir hadn't changed, and the choir experience had not changed, but I had changed, and my interests had changed, and my focus had changed, and yet the choir was the same, the glory of the choir the same, the privilege of singing in the choir the same. So are Christian lives. You see, our Christian lives, our lives as Christians, truly are wonderful, even glorious. The Holy Spirit has been sent into our hearts when we were baptized. When we were baptized into our Savior Jesus, and we were at that moment given new hearts and new spirits so that we truly would be different than the world around us, and we are, we are. It's just that we, over time, can be led by the world, by the cares of the world and its concerns. Let's face it, our familiarity with Christianity. Yes, we can be led away from the wonderful life in which we live, being able to understand where we are from and what we're doing and where we're going, and forget the wonder of being in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, enjoying the daily forgiveness of sins, awaiting the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. We're vindicated by the Holy Spirit within the world by being convinced daily that the world is not the way to live, but Christ our Lord and Savior is the way to live. It's good to be a Christian. So here's the odd thing. On the one hand, the world would hide. It would hide its misery and suffering, the misery and suffering of shattered lives, the result of its own doing, even flaunting itself publicly in pride and opposition to itself, publicly acting out in some sort of attempt to drown out what's going on within its heart and soul and mind privately. While Christians vindicated by the Holy Spirit must simply find peace and contentment and joy in the Spirit, created contentment that they have, their outward position in the world, being from moment to moment to moment so precarious. On the last day, of course, everything will be known visibly. What the world has done and what the Lord has done within those who believe in Him. At that time, there will be visible vindication. At that time, all will be seen, all will be known, all will be acknowledged to be as it truly is. At that time, it will be clear to all. We, in fact, were created. We were created by our loving Heavenly Father. We, in fact, were redeemed from sin and death and the devil by His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we, in fact, are and will and continue to be sanctified, made holy by the Holy Spirit of God. On the last day, so it will be. We'll all be vindicated visibly before the entire world. Until then, however, there will be times in which it seems such vindication of God among men will never take place. So our response. Peter tells us, in these end times, we're to be self-controlled, sober-minded. We're to keep loving one another earnestly, for love covers a multitude of sins. We're to show hospitality without grumbling and serve each other with the gifts that God has given us. Should we be surprised if we run into trouble as Christians? No. We should not understand the world's aggression towards Christianity as something strange. If we're insulted for the name of Christ, we're blessed because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rest upon us. That is, the world can identify us as Christians somehow, some way, so it's aggressive towards us. So as our text from the prophet Ezekiel implies, God will ultimately be vindicated before the world, and so vindicated before our flesh, our old Adam, who would run after the world. It's not as if our Savior Jesus told us anything different about our lives in the here and now. In fact, Jesus told us about what would happen to us in these end times just so that we would not wonder if all of our life, our faith in Christ, the daily forgiveness which is ours through Him, our peace and patience and joy, and are all for naught. All for naught. Well, they are not for naught. N-O-T-N-O-U-G-H-T. Not for naught. They're the Spirit's vindication within us. The new heart and spirit given as a pledge of our new life now and our new life to come. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.